نحمد ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم أما بعد. Whilst reciting the durood and salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the thought just crossed my mind, and looking at the young faces that we see in the crowd gives us a lot of motivation that it is a Thursday night, and you know, the person could be doing anything, but they chose to come to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to sit in this gathering. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala appreciates this. And now, alhamdulillah, we were in the masjid, we had the program, we made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we shed some tears, we had a little bit of, you know, snacks, we recited durood and salam. But if you really ponder and think about it, then there is a kind of fulfillment in the heart. The person doesn't feel guilty. He doesn't feel like he's committed any, you know, a sin in any way whatsoever. And this is the reality, is that when we move towards the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah ta'ala will give the person a feeling of fulfillment in the heart. Now, if the person had to commit a sin tonight, may Allah protect us, there's always that guilt that is haunting the person. What if suddenly somebody sees me? What if I pass away in this, committing this sin? You know, this person mustn't find out, my parents mustn't find out, Ustad mustn't find out, this one mustn't find out. There's always that guilt that is haunting this person. That is why in sins there's no real pleasure. In fact, if we may say, it is stolen pleasure. And our Mohammed Patel Sahib Rahmatullah is to give a very nice example. Is to say the person hijacked a Rolls Royce. So now when he hijacked this Rolls Royce, he was enjoying the beautiful seats, and he was enjoying that wonderful sound system and the air conditioner and that luxurious ride. You know, they have this air suspension. He was enjoying that ride. But now whilst he was enjoying the ride, suddenly he saw in the rearview mirror blue lights. The tracking system now, they were behind him, hot on his heels, as they say. So now what happened? All that enjoyment disappeared. All that comfort disappeared. That is the example. And now he's finding a way to escape and bail himself out, and which place he can just park this car and run for his life. This is the condition of sins. The person, it's just a little while of few moments of pleasure, but the regret and the remorse and the pain thereafter, sometimes it lasts a lifetime. Sometimes the effect of that sin remains for the rest of the person's life. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. But you find some of these youngsters, they get involved in drugs. And, you know, that drug is sometimes so harmful for the body that it takes sometimes years and years before the effect of that drug, you know, can be completely wiped out. Or sometimes the person has to just live with the effect of that drug for the rest of their lives. So this is the condition with regards to a life of sin. And Allah is proving to us that it doesn't mean that if you move towards the obedience of Allah, your life is going to be boring. You won't be able to smile. You won't be able to have, you know, moments of happiness. You'll still be able to have happiness. You'll be able to smile. You'll be able to laugh. You'll be able to play with your children too. You'll lead a perfectly normal life. But just that the person will stay away from doing anything that brings about the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nevertheless, tonight usually we speak a little bit about a few aspects just to develop some kind of love and mahabba for Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because we know that when a person has passion for something, then that passion drives the person. It's a driving force, you know. And this is something that we should try and aspire to achieve. That you develop so much of love for Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that not only does it become easy to do good deeds, in fact, it becomes enjoyable to do good deeds. The person actually enjoys doing. Now if Allah make us, but imagine if the person was an ashik of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If he was a lover of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then when he would recite durood and salam, he would go into a state of ecstasy. It is mentioned of Shah Abdul Ghani Pulpuri Rahmatullahi, who was the Sheikh of Hakim Akhtar Sahib. He was such an ashik of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that when he would start his bayan, and as soon as the name of Allah would come in the first khutbah, then immediately a tear would come out of his eye. And he said the entire bayan, the tear would just stay there. and just taking the name of Allah subhanahu. One occasion, he was sitting and with Hakim Akhtar Sahib. We know Hakim Akhtar Sahib spent about 17 years in the jungle in the company of Shah Abdul Ghani Sahib, despite the fact that Hakim Akhtar Sahib came from an exceptionally wealthy family. He was so wealthy that he had about 5 attendants just seeing to him. His father had owned so many, you know, farms, and they had so much of wealth. But he left all of that to sit in the company of Shah Abdul Ghani Sahib for 17 years. And he said that one occasion they were eating dal. The food was very simple. Not the dal that we get from our, you know, all our caterers here. That's now the dal in those places. A very, very basic, very, very simple food. And he said he was eating the dal. And he said, Hakim Akhtar, mujhe is dal ke andar biryani ka maza aa raha. He said, Hakim Akhtar, I am getting the enjoyment of biryani in this dal. So Hakim Akhtar Sahib said, I asked him, Hazrat, how is that? How is it possible? How are you getting the taste of biryani in the dal? He said, Hakim Akhtar, I am thinking that who is the one who is putting strength in my hand so that I can raise my hand to my mouth? He said, my beloved Allah is making my hand lift up. And who is the one who gave me this dal? My beloved Allah gave me this dal. So he said, I'm feeling as if my beloved Allah is feeding. Now imagine, the person, you find these youngsters, you know, they fall in love and they have this illicit, you know, beloveds. And even if the person is, you know, just newly married, you know, the sururu shahrin. Now the person is newly married, and now if the wife has to put a simple little sweet in the mouth, even if it's not very expensive, the person goes into, he's floating in the, on the, on, you know, it's on the, above the ground. His feet are almost off the ground. It's not the sweet. He doesn't even know what sweet was in the mouth. It's that relationship of mahabbah. Allahu Akbar. Those who are the ashiks of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Ma'ayun Sahib rahmatullah used to say that our condition is such that because of the sins, we are committing so much of sins. He said that we don't even get the enjoyment of dal when we're eating biryani. We don't even get the enjoyment of dal when we're eating biryani. Yeah, the person has got so much of parishani on his head. And this worry and that anxiety and this depression and that problem and this. Nothing. No enjoyment whatsoever. But those who are the friends of Allah, as Allah says, Allah inna awliya Allah. La khawfun alayhim wa lahum yahzanun. Allah makes their hearts gham proof. It's anxiety proof. You may see that they're going through outwardly difficult situations. But Allah Ta'ala put such an enjoyment in their hearts, as Allama Jalaluddin Rumi Rahmatullah Ali, in trying to explain this concept. He gives the example of Bilal ibn Rabah radiallahu anhu, that whilst he was being lashed and he was uttering ahad ahad, so he said that Bilal radiallahu anhu was getting such sweetness in taking the name of Allah that he didn't even pay attention to those lashes. That was the kind of ishq that he had. And we see this in the Sahaba Ikram, that sometimes when they would say Allahu Akbar and they would commence their salah, then, you know, there were incidents where they would say that you performed that operation whilst I'm in salah. And then after the salah, he asked you, you didn't perform that operation? I said, we finished, we cut, we chopped, we chipped, we did everything. He said, I didn't even know anything. The person was so absorbed in his salah. He was so, you know, engrossed in his salah. And this is because of that deep-hearted love that they had for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't have it, but we aspire and we speak about it with the hope that maybe Allah ta'ala gives us a small percentage of that kind of mahabbah and that kind of love. Nevertheless, we had spoken about reciting durood with an emotional feeling. But remember that this love is not only an emotional thing. It is also something which has to be practical. Because remember that loving someone is not only, you know, focused on emotions or focused on merely, you know, praising the person. إِنَّ الْمُحِبَّ لِمَنْ يُحِبُّ مُطِيعُ. It is said that when a person loves someone, then he wants to be like that person. He wants to emulate that person. You'll find that when somebody loves someone, he speaks about that person often. He's always talking about that person. You think about the person who is a soccer fan, and that particular player, he's idol. Whenever he's speaking about him, you know, he's done this year, and he did this year, and, you know, you saw that goal he scored, and you saw he dribbled that team, and you saw this goal. He's always speaking about him because he admires this player. He admires that individual. Together with that, he's always thinking frequently about this individual that he loves. whether it's even illicit relationships. The person is always thinking about his beloved. And together with that, you'll find that there's also a desire to emulate the person that you love. You want to emulate that person. And therefore, a sign that the person is a ashik of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is that the person often speaks about Nabi Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He thinks about Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam frequently. And not only that, he tries to emulate Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is a sign that this person has got true love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about this fact, this aspect of the claim of love and the proof of love, Allah says, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ, that if you say that you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَاتَّبِعُونِ, that the proof of your love is in emulating the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Akim Akhtar Sahib used to say, نقش قدم نبی کے ہے جنت کے راستے, اللہ سے ملاتے ہیں سنت کے راستے. In following the footsteps of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, نقش قدم نبی کے ہے جنت کے راستے. This is the pathway to Jannah. Allah سے ملاتے ہیں سنت کے راستے. That when you will follow and emulate the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this will link you to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the very, you know, tafsir of the verse, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ. So the benefit of that, and Allah ta'ala says, يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ. So the benefits of emulating Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are twofold. That firstly, you will get the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And secondly, you will get the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We take inspiration from the Sahaba-i-Kiram. There is an incident during the Treaty of Hudaybiyah at the time when it was being signed. There was a person by the name of Urwa ibn Mas'ud, who had traveled, you know, through the different empires of the time, whether it was the Persian Empire, the Roman Empire. And he took note of the spectacle between the Sahaba-i-Kiram and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Remember that when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam moved to Madinatul Munawwara, then there was a lot of hostility between the people of Makkah, the mushrikeen of Makkah, and the people of Madinatul Munawwara. And because of this hostility, they did not really understand each other. Or rather, the mushrikeen didn't really understand the Muslim community. And now that is why this treaty is regarded as a victory for the Muslims, because it created peace. And now they were able to see each other, not from a position of that much hostility. So he took note of the spectacle between the Sahaba-i-Kiram and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he made the comment. He said, you know, I've traveled to the Roman Empire. I've seen how the Romans were with their ruler. I've been to the Persian Empire. I've seen how the people have treated their ruler. And then he said, مَا رَأَيْتُ أَحَدًا أَحَبَّ أَحَدًا كَحُبِّ أَصْحَابِ مُحَمَّدٍ مُحَمَّدًا. I've never seen a group of people loving a person like how the companions of Muhammad love Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then he said that they will not even allow, when the Nabi of Allah makes wudu, they wouldn't even allow that water of the wudu to touch the ground. They would, you know, try and get that water, because they had such, you know, reverence and respect for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They would lower their voices when they would speak to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in conformance to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, لَا تَرْفَعُوا أَصْوَاتَكُمْ فَوْقَ صَوْتِ النَّبِيِّ, that do not raise your voice above the voice of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أَن تَحْبَطَ أَعْمَالُكُمْ, lest your a'mal, your deeds are destroyed. From this we learn the element of respect, that we have respect for those who are senior, whether it is our ulama, whether it is our mashayikh, whether it is our grandparents, there should be that element of respect. But nevertheless, he says that they do not even stay at the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam out of respect for the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then that love translated into such obedience. There's so many incidents, just two incidents that are famously mentioned. Then one sahabi, he was wearing a gold ring. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he saw this gold, he became upset because men are not allowed to wear gold. So the Nabi of Allah pulled this ring out of his finger and he threw it on the floor. Later on, after the Nabi of Allah left that place, the other Sahaba Ikram said that your gold ring is lying on the floor. Why don't you pick it up? You know, and you can give it maybe to your sister, you can give it to your mother, you can give it to your wife. He said, how dare I touch that which has angered my Rasul? How dare I touch it? Look at the level of respect that they had for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. On one occasion, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam stood on the mimbar of Madinah to Munawwara, and he made an announcement, all of you sit down. There was one sahabi who was walking outside in the street. He heard the voice of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He sat down right there in the street. That was the kind of respect and obedience they had to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and there are so many examples of that nature. Therefore, we take inspiration from the lives of the Sahaba Ikram. Now, how much of love should we have for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in one hadith, "La yu'minu ahadukum hatta akuna ahabba ilayhi min walidihi wa waladihi wa nasi ajma'in." None of you can be a true believer until I am more beloved to you than your own father, more beloved to you than your own child, and more beloved to you than every other person around you. So in other words, the love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam should be higher. Hakim Akhtar Sahib put it very nicely. He said, you just need to have 51%. If you got 51%, you passed. Of course, they made it very easy for us. Even if you have just 1% more, alhamdulillah, you passed. In other words, what he was trying to say is that you can still love your wife, you can still love your children, you can still love your car, you can still love all of these things. But the love for Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam should be more. And how will we measure that? When there is a conflict of interest. When on the one hand, there is a demand from perhaps a beloved to violate the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now we will see that that percentage is higher and the person is able to overcome and says, no, look. In a respectful way, the person turns down that request. Akim Akhtar Sahib again, he gave a very beautiful example. He said that the wife is asking for some haram thing to be brought into the home. At that time, he gave the example of television. She's asking that the television is brought in the home. So he says, the one thing you could say to the wife is that, how dare you ask for something like this? You don't know it's haram. And next time you ask something like this, I'll, you know, put you or whatever it is. He said, that's one approach to take. But that approach is not going to, you know, create any harmony in the home. It's just going to create friction. He said that you should say to the wife that, look, see, you know, I love you, but I love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more. And I cannot bring something in the home that's going to invite the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But then he said that what you do, buy your wife a gift that is even more expensive than that which she was asking. And give that to her. Perhaps it's a gold ring, or perhaps it's a, you know, something that is for her. And buy that for her, so that she still knows that you still have got love for her. Look at how practical they were. You know, and how they understood the community and the society, and they try to create harmony within our lives. So the love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam should definitely dominate our hearts, the love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with the love for the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we should try to bring some sunnats of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in our life, the smallest of sunnats. Whether it is greeting somebody with salam, this is the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Smiling at a person, just smiling at a person with the intention of emulating Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, eating with the right hand, showing kindness to others, showing generosity, speaking gently. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his nature was, he was very gentle. Allah ta'ala describes the nature of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. فَبِمَا رَحْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ لِنْتَ لَهُمْ. The Nabi of Allah was soft and kind and gentle. And because of this, people were attracted to the personality of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Though these sunnahs of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to bring into our lives, reviving a sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, ulama ikram explained, it is like bringing the light of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam back into the society. And the one hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man ahya sunnati faqad ahabbani, wa man ahabbani kana ma'i fil jannah." That the person who revives my sunnah, then he has loved me, and the person who loves me will be with me in Jannah. Allahu Akbar. And remember, reviving a sunnah means a sunnah which has now become forgotten. People are not practicing on the sunnah. And you try to revive that sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is a sign that you love Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will secure you a companionship, the companionship with Nabi Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Jannah. May Allah make us of those fortunate ones. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله. اللهم لا نحصي ثناء عليك، أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك. Oh Kareem Allah, Rahim Allah, Allah, these brothers, Ya Allah, and our sisters who are listening, Ya Allah. It is the late part of the night, Ya Allah, but they have remained behind, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, they are hopeful of your forgiveness. They are hopeful of your mercy, Ya Allah. We have the young ones amongst us, Ya Allah. We have the elderly in our midst, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, these are people, Ya Allah, who you show additional mercy to, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, with the barakat of their presence, Ya Allah, we beseech you once again, Ya Allah, forgive each and every one of us, Ya Allah. Make us your beloveds, Ya Allah. Make us yours and become ours, Ya Allah. Fill our hearts with your love, Ya Allah. Fill our hearts with the love of Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Make us true ashiks of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let the love for you and your beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam dominate our hearts, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, give us the realization, Ya Allah, that everything else in this world, Ya Allah, is temporary, Ya Allah. The material wealth of this world is temporary, Ya Allah. We will leave our wealth behind, Ya Allah. Our cars, our homes, our properties will all be left behind, Ya Allah. And we will take only our good deeds with us in our graves, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, grant us the tawfiq, Ya Allah, to prepare well for, Ya Allah, our qabr, Ya Allah. To prepare well for the akhirah, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, throughout the world, Ya Allah, wherever the Muslims are suffering, Ya Allah, alleviate their suffering, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, wherever, Ya Allah, people are going through some challenges, Ya Allah, alleviate their challenges, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, bless us with the noble character of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Oh Allah, grant us the ability to fulfill the rights of all those who have rights upon us, Ya Allah. Whether it is the rights of our parents, Ya Allah, the rights of our spouses, our children, Ya Allah, our family members, Ya Allah, our neighbors, Ya Allah, our teachers, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, grant us the tawfiq to fulfill the rights of all those who have rights upon us, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, make it such, Ya Allah, that we secure your forgiveness, Ya Allah. And we secure forgiveness from any person that we may have caused taklif or harm to, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, and we make you, Ya Allah, witness tonight, Ya Allah, that anyone who has harmed us in any way, Ya Allah, we have forgiven them, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, why should we harbor malice in our hearts, Ya Allah? For we have learnt, Ya Allah, that enmity and malice in our hearts become an obstacle from your forgiveness, Ya Allah. Therefore, Ya Allah, you are always willing to forgive us, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, let us be willing to forgive others, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, bless us with tolerance, Ya Allah. Bless us with generosity, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, make us independent, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, bless us with good health, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, bless us, Ya Allah, every single bounty that you have granted us, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, there are so many individuals, Ya Allah, who we should be making dua for, Ya Allah, who have requested for dua, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, we beseech you tonight, Ya Allah, you grant them all their good wishes, Ya Allah. And each and every individual who has raised his or her hand, Ya Allah, before you, fulfill all their good desires and aspirations, whatever challenge, hardship, sickness they are going through, you remove it, alleviate it, Ya Allah. Allahumma inna nas'aluka min kulli khair, ma sa'alaka minhu nabiyyuka wa habibuka sayyiduna Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. ونعوذ بك من كل شر ما استعاذ منه نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وأنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله.